This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joining me on the line is Jason Barry, the carnivore keeper at the Melbourne Zoo. We're going to be speaking about bongos today. Jason, thank you very much for your time.
Not a problem. Good to be here.
Now, bongos, they're a type of antelope.
They sure are.
Tell me a little bit about them.
They're actually one of the most attractive of the antelope species. Beautifully coloured, a nice dark red-orange colour, striped patterns down their flanks, and some nice facial patterning as well, and a good set of horns on them as well. They're actually quite a striking animal.
I believe they're also one of the largest forest antelopes, is that right?
Yeah, they're one of the biggest of the forest antelope. They belong with the Sitatunga bushbuck, Nyalas and Kudus. There's a couple of words for you there.
Yeah.
They're all very sort of similar in their coat patterns and their appearance, things like that. But yeah, the bongo are one of the largest, although the greater Kudu would probably be the biggest out of that group.
Whereabouts do you find them in the world?
You've got the East African bongo. Sound East Africa, obviously.
Yep.
Mostly in the lowland forests and things like that, where they get plenty of shade and protection. That's when those stripes come in handy. That helps them to blend in with their surroundings. And there's also a mountain bongo as well.
I believe they're a bit of a secretive animal, and they're a bit hard to find in the wild. Is that right?
Yeah, they're very, very secretive. They're found quite often solitary, but they're also found in groups. They seem to be the sort of animal that doesn't want us to put any sort of rules on them. You know, they'll do whatever they feel like. They can be found up to groups of about 44, I think the maximum one group found was, and that's just mostly due to food availability at the time. But yeah, active mostly around dawn and dusk, where they're likely to be just enough light for them to see, but it makes them a little bit trickier for their predators to find them.
Now, are they a threatened species in the wild?
More like most animals these days, they are under a lot of pressure through habitat loss and hunting and things like that. Although a lot of local people are quite superstitious of the bongo, they see them as a bit of bad luck, so they try to avoid them as much as possible, which in fact will sort of protect the bongo in a way, because people actually try to avoid them in certain areas.
Yeah, I believe that native people believe that if you eat or touch a bongo that you'll have spasms similar to an epileptic seizure.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't actually tried that. I've given our guys a pat, and disappointing at the moment. I haven't had any sort of fits or anything
no
like that.
No seizures.
Certainly not for the want of trying, though.
No, fair enough. Now, how many have we got at the Melbourne Zoo?
We've got a male and a female at the moment. Our male, his name's Ndugu. He was born at Taronga, and the female is Binti. She's 4 years old, and she came from Dubbo. She was born in Dubbo, and both of them arrived here last year from Adelaide Zoo.
And is the plan to breed those two?
Yeah, the long term, we're hoping to breed our bongo. At the moment, things are still up in the air as far as future locations for some animals, so we're just holding off for now. But we have been monitoring their behaviour and their interactions towards each other through the fences and the gates. At the moment, we've just got them separated.
Okay, so they haven't actually hung out together yet, they can just see each other.
Yeah, they've just been monitoring their behaviour towards each other and trying to get an idea of Binti's estrus cycles as to when she comes into estrus and when she peaks, so we know when the best time is to put them together, basically predicting when the best time will be down the track when we have a better idea of where our bongo may end up.
So are they looking like they're interested in each other?
On the odd occasion, sometimes Ndugu's looking for her and she's not interested in him, and sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes you see them both sort of looking at each other through the mesh and nuzzling each other and things like that.
So you've got a couple of bongos that like to play hard to get with each other.
It seems to be that way, yeah.
Now, another couple of interesting facts I've read about the bongos is that in the wild they're actually found to be eating burned wood after a lightning storm, because they believe that there's salt and minerals in that.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of animals will eat things like that. They've had reports of giraffes eating carcass bone and things like that for similar reasons, and you do find a lot of animals will eat soil and earth at various locations, charcoal and things like that for various minerals, and we provide our bongos with salt licks at the zoo, similar to what cattle would get. So it just seems to be a natural thing for a lot of these animals to do.
Now, with humans, we're always trying to reduce the amount of salt in our diet. Why is it important for animals to have salt?
It would be just various vitamins and things like that that they'd be lacking through their browse, just to accentuate their diet. You know, it could be for bones, it could be for calcium and things like that. You probably don't get a great deal of calcium in a bunch of leaves.
Yep.
So, you know, everything needs to have good, strong bones, so it's one of the reasons why they'd be getting stuck into that. Of course, a bongo can weigh, you know, between, you know, 100 and 150 and 250 kilos, so they'd probably need a little bit more salt in their diet than we would to sort of maintain things.
Oh, for sure. And they're also great high jumpers.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good vertical leap. Can get straight up over a 6-foot fence pretty easily with a bit of a run-up. And if they do get disturbed or if they are spooked, quite often they'll do a big running display and a leap as they escape to show their predators just how strong and agile they are to try and deter them from chasing them.
Now, Jason, you're one of the carnivore keepers at the zoo. What are the other animals you look after in your sector?
We've got lions, big cats, snow leopards, Persian leopards, puma, binturong, small cats like fishing cats and servals.
So you get a pretty good set of animals there. Are you the envy of some of the other keepers?
Not that I'm aware of. It's not really in human nature for people to walk up to you and say, "I am so envious of you," and then walk away.
True.
If there's envy, it's you don't really hear about it firsthand.
Yep. But yeah. It's best not to go up and be envious of someone who's got a lion standing beside them, really, is it?
That's probably not a good idea, no.
No. Well, Jason, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today.
No worries, Adam.
That's Jason Barry, one of the carnivore keepers at the Melbourne Zoo, telling us a little bit about the bongo antelopes. You can find them in several places, and that interview, of course, will be available on the blog at adambarrowlaysallnatural.blogspot.com.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.